This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. Again, you can contact me if you'd like to leave prayer requests. You can go to my website if you'd like to re-listen to this program or read my weekly meditation. And so I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, last time, we spent our time on the things that do not matter, and we looked at a rich man who prepared for time but did not prepare for eternity. And the Lord said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." After he had everything in order, had arranged his life the way he wanted it, had more than enough for his retirement, then he didn't get a chance to enjoy it. And so we were trying to emphasize the need for people to think about the relationship with God. The Bible is clear that we must be born again. And in order to be born again, John chapter 1 says we have to receive Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And so a spiritual birth occurs when we come to that point in our lives where we quit depending on ourselves and start depending on God, not only for salvation eternally, but then we should be depending on him for time as well. And that leads us into our present section of Luke. We're going to read today from Luke chapter 12 and verse 23. We're going to start out with that statement that the Lord makes after he criticizes the rich man and his attitude. And he says, "Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." He was not clothed like one of these. "If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, and where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. And really, as we move from the gospel and the need to trust the Lord for salvation, then we begin to see that that should have an effect upon our lives, and we want to move into truth that will be good for each of us who are saved. Normally, this program is designed not only to be a help to those who are saved and teach them a little something about the Lord, but it's also designed primarily to help people that really don't know the Lord to understand their need of him, their sin, and how they can be sure of heaven when they die. And my primary goal is to help people understand that, because no matter how well you live and how good your life is, if when you die, you end up dying without faith in the Lord Jesus, then the Bible says you'll be condemned eternally. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." But salvation is not just for time, salvation, or just for eternity. Salvation is also for time. The eternal life we give is also for time. And so Much of what I'm going to say this morning is designed to try to be an encouragement to those of us that are saved, because you'll notice in this passage, he deals about being anxious, he deals about worry, and then he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, if we are a people who are anxious, if we are a people who worry, then we have to ask ourselves, again, are we focused on earthly things, or are we focused on heavenly things? Are we focused on ourselves, or are we focused on Christ? We know the rich man in our previous passage was focused on things of this earth. He was focused on himself. He was focused on providing for himself. But the Lord is saying that we need to get beyond that. And we need to understand that the Lord takes care of his own. And so we should not be worrying about what we eat or drink. We should not have an anxious mind. And so in verse 24 and 25, he says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If then, verse 26 says, if then you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Now, let's be honest with each other. We're all anxious at times. Fact of the matter is, anxiety is one of the things that, probably one of the most prominent things that people go to get help with when they're talking to a psychiatrist or a psychologist today. They want help with their anxiety levels. And I have to freely confess that there are anxiety levels that I have. And I know when I'm worried about things, that it's things that are, I feel, are beyond my control. And I wonder, what am I going to do if? And you know, I've worried about those things now for many, many years. And most of the things I've worried about have never happened. And all it's done is it's shortened my life. And if I had really been confident that the Lord was going to take care of me as well as he takes care of the lily of the field, I wouldn't be worrying like that now, would I? There's a lot of things we worry about that we can't change. And if we can't change them, we shouldn't worry about them. And we know that. That's simple physics. But at the same time, we do worry. And we're like the children of Israel. I've been reading about them in the Old Testament. God has miraculously delivered them from the land of Egypt. That's a picture of our salvation. The Passover lamb is slain, and Egypt is a picture of the world and all of its bondage. And the children of Israel, through the blood of the lamb, are delivered. And they get out into the wilderness, and the first thing they run up against is the Red Sea. And then their question is, well, we should have stayed back there. What are we going to do now? The Egyptians had changed their mind and were coming to overtake them and subdue them. And the Red Sea was in front of them, and they were hemmed in. And now you talk about a pickle. They were in it. And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Why should they worry? If they had their eye on the Lord, and if they understood they were his people, that they had been a redeemed people, that God loved them enough to redeem them with the Passover lamb, why were they worrying? But they worried because they were used to doing things themselves. And so they're brought through the Red Sea, and then the next thing is they don't have water. Well, what are we going to do now? Well, the Lord provides them water from a rock. And the next thing is, well, we don't have food. And they did have their flocks, of course, and their flocks now had water. But I don't know how much grazing their flocks was able to do, but they didn't want to just eat up all their animals. So the question is now, what do they do? And the Lord provides them manna from heaven. And that manna is a picture of Christ in his humility. But if you study the children of Israel, they had trouble even with the manna. But the Lord tells us that this manna, which fell miraculously every morning and was doubled to them on Friday, so they didn't have to pick it up on Saturday. This manna, if they collected a lot, they didn't have any left over. And if they collected a little, they didn't have any lack. And I look at that and I say to myself, why am I not satisfied with what the Lord has provided? We know that there are countries where people do go hungry. And we're anxious about food and shelter, just like the children of Israel were. And it's because we know people that do not have enough, and we worry that we could be one of them. But my question is, are they people that really are depending on the Lord? Are they the people that are in need? Have they ever really committed their lives to the Lord? Have they trusted Him not only for eternity, but for time? Or are they looking to pagan gods, to pagan systems, to governments for their help? And I would ask that about those of us in the United States today, because we know there's a lot of concern about governmental issues. And those of us that are saved, we have to live right before we can tell the world how to live right. And we need to live in such a way that it's obvious that we're not concerned about tomorrow. We may get government help in some areas, that's fine. But the point is, that help doesn't really come from the government. It comes from the Lord. He provides for us. And I am convinced that if we're really saved, and if we're really depending on the Lord, we don't need to worry, even though most of us would have to confess that we do. And so he ends this passage by saying, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. That's not what the world does. The world seeks after the practical things of life. They're worried about eating and drinking and having enough. All these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. If we're saved, we're precious. And the Lord knows what we need. And so he says, seek the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, I'm not sure that promise is to the unbeliever. In fact, whereas I'm quite sure that it's not. But that promise is to the believer. It's the promises to his disciples, the promises to his people. And if you're one of them, not only have you trusted Christ, and you'll be all right for eternity, but as you trust Christ, he'll take care of you in time. You're part of his little flock, and it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think of that blessing. We know that the Christians in Philippi were told not to be anxious, and that verse has always been a verse that blesses me and others that I've talked to. It says in Philippians 4, verses 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so the question is, are we looking to God or are we looking to self? Are we looking to God or are we looking to others? And if we are his, if we are his children, part of his flock, we can have peace. We don't have to be anxious for anything. But our treasure will be in heaven. We won't be amassing wealth here on earth. He says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. Where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I just ask you today, where is your treasure? If you love the Lord, your treasure's there. And if you live like you love the Lord, your treasure will be there, and the Lord will take care of you, and you will not need to be anxious for anything. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson, and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. In our Savior's name we give thanks. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.